Welcome to the BGN Invitational Tournament 3 Championship Series post-game show. Here is your host again, Space Dominator. Alright. Perhaps things didn't remain as normal as you might have thought.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Real Men of
Genius. Here's to you, oh commentator of the 9-year-old game. Without you, we wouldn't know the difference between the river drop and the river pop. Mr. 9-year-old StarCraft commentator.
They say that real commentators play the game of StarCraft really well, but not you. You just miscontrol your units and look confused on the field of battle. You suck! You just proceed to speak what you see, and pray it doesn't make you sound so stupid. So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, O Swami of the TeamSpeak microphone. You might not make much sense, but at least you make StarCraft sound like something.
Hello and welcome back to the BGN Invitational Tournament 3 post-game show. We have just witnessed the conclusion of this series in 4 hard-fought, close games, with Killa Ace managing to win all 4 over his good friend, Ramvid. So, Desastroso, your thoughts about the last 2 games, and we are also joined by Zorak, who will get his thoughts in just a moment.
Okay. My thoughts about the last 2 games. Well, in this game, I think Brad was trying to be too safe by defending hard, and that's what cost him the game, in my opinion. Yeah, we can do the replay review while we do talk.
Zorak, your thoughts after witnessing the 4-game sweep from Killa Ace?
Well, I guess I'm a little disappointed that things didn't go better for Ram. I was hoping that he would win. I think as far as the last 2 games were concerned, the first one was the more interesting of the 2, and I think that the last one wasn't too interesting to me just because I've seen the game go down this way many times before, particularly when I play Protoss versus Terran, you know, with me being the Terran. Normally, that's how it ends for me. So, you know, nothing new there. But, you know, well played by both Ram and Killa, and, you know, congratulations to Killa Ace for winning the 3rd Blizzard Gaming Night tournament.
Well, obviously, I have a few thoughts of my own. First things first, I have to admit I'm very disappointed in Ramvid for making me wrong in my prediction of the series going 5 games. I will never forget this, Ramvid. You probably won't either, but at least I won't. A poor prediction on my part. Thus, really, I am the losing locker room reporter, as we just discussed earlier. Second thing on the docket. Throughout the 4 games, I have to note one thing, though. Ramvid had a lot of bad luck happen against him. That last game, you know, with the 1 Reaver, 9 hit points. Just so many little things throughout each of these games that had they not gone against Ramvid, he might have had a chance to push against Killa. He had the opportunities early on in the first 2 games, for example, but just couldn't do enough with them. Ramvid played pretty good, but it just wasn't good enough, unfortunately, on this night. Or, unfortunately, over the last 2 nights. Of course, I'm a little bit surprised, too, that Ramvid didn't pick an island map, actually, for the 4th game. I know Satyrchasm's a good map for a Zerg player, but that doesn't do you much good when you go random and end up as a Terran. So, it's tough for me to tell, you know, in that case, what really happened. However, at this moment, as soon as I unmute him, one moment. We are joined by the now 3-time defending champion of the BGN Invitational Tournament, Killa Ace. First things first, congratulations. You've just won the BGN Invitational Tournament 3. What are you going to do now? Killa Ace had some technical difficulties. I apologize for this. Hopefully we'll get these technical difficulties fixed in the next minute or so. So, Desastroso, what would you do if you won the BGN Invitational Tournament 3?
I would not drink beer. I hate beer, although I'm German, and I live in Germany, and we are supposed to drink all the beer. I wouldn't. I don't know, what would I do? I think I would cry and make, slap someone here. Slap someone, yes, I would slap someone.
I'm sorry I asked. It looks like we have just fixed the technical difficulties here between Killa Ace. Killa Ace, as I said initially, congratulations again. You are now the three-time defending champion of the BGN Invitational Tournament. Now that you've just won that, what are you gonna do now?
Well, I'm just gonna take my cap off to the opponent. And I'll just say thanks for everything, and I'll probably just go out drinking tonight. Do a little celebration, and tomorrow it's back to work as usual.
Do you think your opponent's going to join you for those drinks? Okay, drinks for a different reason, but...
Yeah, I think he's just going to have to stay at home, maybe open up a bottle of Jack Daniels by himself, cry himself to sleep. Rem, you know how it is, no hard feelings. But I think I'll celebrate this one out by myself and my brother Richieverse, who helped me get through this and definitely cheered me on, especially with me playing as Protoss. So thanks a lot, Rich, for that. Thanks a lot, everyone, for cheering me on.
So in your opinion, what was the key to you winning the last two games?
Oh, without a doubt, the key to winning that final game was absolutely the Reaver drop. I mean, not only did he have to drop in there, kill two Vultures, and then a tank, and inch his way over to those SCVs for some final killings before he left. And luckily, Ram kept his SCVs in the ball and I was just able to take advantage of that, get some shots in there. That was just absolutely exactly what I wanted to come from that Reaver, because it was a risky strat. You don't usually go Reavers in the PVT, but I thank God that it worked that time. And for the game previous to that, it was a Protoss for Zerg, obviously on a map that is anti-Zerg. And the fact that he couldn't defend both his expansion and his main was really the reason that he lost that game. And especially with me as Protoss and my brother Richieverse definitely cheering me on, maybe even giving me a few tips here and there, that was all I needed to win this series.
Well, I guess it's interesting to note that the series was very symmetrical, you know. It started the same way it ended, with a Terran versus Protoss matchup there. But I guess the question I want to ask you is, do you think in this instance that, or in this series rather, do you think that going random really hurt Ram in the end?
Oh, absolutely. I really, really, really thought he was going to go Zerg in that final game. I mean, especially because he picked Satyrchasm, sort of a map that is just so pro-Zerg. I mean, so a map that he's used to. Why? I don't understand why he picked random in that matchup. If he wanted to pick random, he should have picked it more on Monty Hall and just strange maps like that, especially the one before that. What was it called? Plains to Hill. I mean, that's a map where you want to just throw the dice and get random, but really, Satyrchasm, that's your specialty on an elimination game. You have to pick your best race on that game. And he went with Terran, and it definitely showed. Although he played great, it definitely showed that this wasn't his best race, and that's probably why he lost the series.
Out of curiosity, how do these four games, you know, compare to the games that you've played in the past? You guys have played a good 400 plus games. How would you rank these in terms of the competitiveness?
This series was definitely like no other series between me and Ram. For the first 300 games, I mean, the series was really just a learning experience for him. We were just joking around. I was clearly a lot better than him. It wasn't even close. However, the last few months have kind of turned the tables. He has been able to really keep me on my toes lately and gotten close to beating me a lot of times. So in this series, it was kind of no surprise that it was going to be tough, but I really had no idea it was going to be this tough. Especially the first two games, I felt like those could have gone either way. these last two sort of just showed who the better player was, I think.
Out of curiosity, too, I have to ask, you know, the games that Ramvid has beaten you, how has he done it?
In a word, luck. I have nothing else to say about that.
Very wise, young sir, very wise. So how is your training in StarCraft going to help you in your training to be a vet?
Actually, StarCraft is amazing because it increases your thinking ability in a way that really no other game can, or not even reading can, because StarCraft is a game where you have to think ahead, think many steps ahead, and you gotta think fast. Being a veterinarian is all about thinking. You gotta think about many different patients at the same time, you gotta multitask. You gotta remember that the game is about micro and macro. Similar to being a veterinarian, you gotta remember you're taking care of the animal's health and you're taking care of the human's emotions towards the animals. You gotta balance both, and StarCraft also has that balance. So definitely, I'll continue to play StarCraft because I think it keeps the mind fresh in that respect.
Pretty good response. Thank you for your time, and we'll be talking with you pretty shortly here as we get underway with the replay reviews. You will be joined by my trusty partner, Dace Estrell, so again, congratulations on your victory.
Thanks a lot, Space Dominator. I look forward to listening to all these broadcasts. I'm sure you guys did great. And thanks a lot for everyone for cheering me on. Congratulations to Ramiro for getting this far. I'll see you again, and I hope we continue to play a series from here on out, because I'm sure if we keep this kind of intensity, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, once again, thanks for everything, everyone, and have a great summer.
Yep, that's true. Then you can be just as good as me. But anyways, after this short commercial break, we will be back with Dace Estrosso and Killa Ace reviewing games number 3 and 4, the final two of the BGN Invitational Tournament 3. This is Blizzard Gaming Night Radio.
Do you think you have the capability, the charm, and the wit to commentate games of StarCraft on a regular basis? Can you tell a difference between a 7-pool and an 8-pool and lack the capability to execute those maneuvers yourself? Then you sound like a perfect candidate for commentating on StarCraft games. You don't need a good voice or talent. You just need a degree from the Space Dominator School for StarCraft Storytelling, which, by the way, is a long, convoluted way for saying broadcasting StarCraft games. Just listen at the wonders we have done with some of our previous students.
Oh my god, it's recording. I'm gonna be cut out.
Buenos dias, señores y señoritas. Here is Desastroso from Germany. And we will take now a short review about Space Dominator's group, that is Group 2.
And if you think we are just limited to talking about melee games of StarCraft, you are wrong! We will talk about anything in the world of StarCraft, whether it be SCV, football, StarCraft Fortress, you name it. Just listen to some of these brilliant clips of some of our past students.
Danielle, are you watching the game?
I'm watching. The red ones are going. The blue ones are pretty much standing.
The red one has the ball. Touchdown. Another one by Kevin. 21-7.
Now I know to many of you out there it sounds really difficult and it's really intimidating to hear such high quality, perfect broadcasts from our students every single time. But don't worry. After years of practice, you can be just as good as us, and perhaps even Des will reward you by saying, that was the GG. Remember, Space Dominator School for StarCraft Storytelling is your only source to be the next superstar in the world of StarCraft broadcasting.
And don't you forget it.
And don't you forget it.
And we are now back, live from OP, from OP BGN, excuse me, Zorak, I did not mean to mispronounce that, as you've belittled me about that before we even started. No, he didn't like OP. He thought OP sounded better. Us mathematicians never agree on anything, so screw it. But anyways, I'm going to now pass over the microphone to my old school partner, everyone's German friend, the one that likes, well, he likes some beer, I guess. And he really likes the beer song.
No.
All right, fine. We shall save you the embarrassment, I suppose, from hearing it one more time. And here he is, De Sestroso.
Hello, everybody. This is De Sestroso from Germany. We are going to watch the replays right now. I don't have them, so SD, you should open them or kill Ace, someone. Yes, I'm gonna let him talk.
That's an important detail.
And by the way, I don't... Yeah. I don't like beer. I don't like beer. And a little bit, nothing. I just don't like it. And good. We're going to enter right now.
Just to let everybody know, Blizzard Gaming Night only endorses drinking that is under of the legal age. De Sestroso agrees with that. Anyways, back to them.
Yes, I do agree on that. As I said already, here in Germany, you are allowed to drink beer at the age of 16. Oh, Claes has been pushed out here.
Well, here we go with our third game of the BGN Finals. We see Plains to Hill, chosen by Claes, which was definitely my idea because I remember last time in a previous semifinals matchup versus Granvid that he was very bad on this map, mostly because he was Zerg. And Zerg obviously has a disadvantage in this map in that they can't defend both their expo and their main base at the same time. They have to choose on whether to defend the expo or defend the main, or build an extra hatchery which could defend both the expo and the main. And Ram actually did that in the last week's matchup, but he didn't do it in this week's matchup. So we don't know why this happened, but we'll see. We'll see what his thinking was in this game. Here you see I scout bottom. He scouts bottom right, so we both don't know who each other are. We're both random. Ram going with probably a 9 pool. Very early Zerglings. Probably trying to go for an easy kill on me. Not a good idea on a map as big as this, but it's probably his only choice. I see the Zerglings coming, and I have the 2 gateways. The lots are a bit late, but they should come in time to defend against the Zerglings. Here you see Ram, and this is typical of Ram, 600 minerals in the beginning of the game. That is going to kill you every time down. Here he loses his attack, obviously, didn't do anything. And just that 600 minerals early in the game, you didn't expand and you lost some drones to a probe. I mean, that is just, it is practically game over at this point. Now he expands and builds a sunken at his main. But at this point, I mean, you just really, you made a gamble and it didn't work. Here, my Zealots get really beaten up by these lings. I thought I'd be able to do more damage, and I couldn't. Here I tried going for a possible cannon and shield battery, which didn't work out as I thought it would, unfortunately for me. Strange that these Zerglings didn't kill the cannon, but here we go. Unfortunately, I lose that base. Pretty costly on my part. Things look bad right now. Dez asking why I didn't block the entrance. I was thinking about it, I just came a few seconds too late. Here comes the Lings in my main base. Nothing really to worry about. Yes, I think I was getting a little greedy at the point. I wanted to kill that expansion. I probably should have just defended better the ramp.
Okay, I have to ask, why do you go three gates instead of expanding right now? Why do you gamble by building one more gate instead of being able to overrun him in long term?
Because I felt like I didn't have that much of a land army and I wanted to be able to kill him early, seeing that he had to build Sunkins in both his expansion and his main. I thought maybe if I could build up enough Zealots and Archons, the game would be over without me having to expand as early. And also, my macro wasn't that good, so I had enough money to build that extra gateway.
Just asking because, after the beginning, I thought that the game was almost pretty over, as you said here. And I was wondering that Rambit was able to come back, because at this point, it looks for me as if he doesn't look too bad. He has some sort of map control. He can't attack you, but at least he's able to this point before he loses the Zerglings. He's able to get you in your base. He would have been able to maybe bend one more time. So I think if you had your expansion earlier, I don't know.
You're right. I wasn't thinking about that expansion at that time in the game. I didn't want to make it too easy for him to attack me at that point. I think I wanted to tech up a little bit, go with a stronger land game early on. Although looking back, it would have been probably a better idea to make that expansion earlier. One thing I was really worried about actually in this game was Mutalis. If he tried to attack me with Mutalis, I could have been in a lot of trouble. Hence why I made some cannons around my minerals.
Yes, yes.
Well, here I come, knowing that he was kind of weak, I came in with the Archons, and this was definitely enough to win right here.
Yes.
All he has is Zerglings.
That was a very good move from you, and that's why I'm always wondering with you, because when I play, it looks as if I don't take this chances while you... have your army well positioned, and then you just attack when you think it's good, and it almost always is good when you attack. Why do you do that? Is it some sort of feeling, or do you read informations where I don't, or what is the secret?
Actually, that move for me is very rare of me. I am not usually that aggressive early on to where I would attack a guy's main base all out. I would usually try to get map control, scout around, but I felt in this game, I knew that he was investing too much into his expansion, which he couldn't defend against me, so I thought, let's get my +2 attack, Zealots and Archons, and let's see what we can do with him. If there was too much stuff at his main base, I would have pulled back, but definitely, you just saw one Sunken, a few Zealots, nothing that a bunch of Archons and Zealots can defeat, so I think it was the right move right there. Again, not a move that I would always do.
Yeah, because it's so typical for you that you are able to... I don't know, your timing is incredible, in my opinion.
Also, a key in this matchup is to get the two upgrades as fast as possible. You want to get a +2 attack. And I don't know if Ram had one or two armor at the time. He might not have had any armor. And that definitely
makes
a big difference.
Yeah, it does. That's true. I was noticing too in that game. He had two evolution chambers, but upgraded very late, while you had your +1 attack upgrade and almost the second one done. So I was also thinking that if this game went any longer, he would have been disadvantaged for a long time until he had the three carapace upgrade too, because you would always been at least one attack upgrade before him.
I think I was very aggressive in these last two games, especially because I was playing on a new computer. This is not my house computer, and I feel very uncomfortable on this. Very very difficult to macro on this and to micro. So I felt like I just wanted to attack as early as possible. Get as much of an advantage as I could early on.
Okay. ST, any thoughts about how we can do, what we can do for the next replay review, or?
No, it sounded really good. Although I do have to ask one question to Kill Ace at this point. If you were going to give advice to someone about how to time the attacks on the way that you do, what would you tell them? Because, like, when Deus Estoroso said that you seem to attack at the right time perfectly every single time, is that basically a lot due to your good reconnaissance, or is that just intuition? What is it?
It's a few things, actually. Reconnaissance is one very big part of that. Reconnaissance is knowing what your opponent has and what he probably doesn't have. That's very important in this game. Another thing to know about timing is look at your upgrades. If you know the time that you make your upgrades, you also sort of know the time that he has his upgrades. And whenever you have an upgrade advantage, especially in a Protoss versus Zerg game, where Protoss, once you have one attack over the Zerg armor carapace, you want to attack at that time. So that's exactly what I was looking for at that time. And really, another thing about timing is you get it with experience. You get it with playing a lot of games. You sort of realize that you've seen this all before. You know when mutas are going to come. You know when lurkers are going to come. So you want to attack at that period right before he gets strong and right as you're at your toughest point. If you attack too early, you'll just get embarrassed. You'll lose your units, and you'll be way behind. If you attack too late, you'll have lost that advantage that you had, and you'll give him too much of a chance to build up. So definitely, timing is something that you just, it really comes with experience.
Alrighty.
I'm just asking because, excuse me.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I went to play a game versus Gumi Ente. Maybe you know him. He has been here sometime. Also a Protoss versus Zerg match. And it was Azalea. You surely know that map. And I was in advantage for a long time. But I didn't get to attack him. I don't know why. I had an advantage. I was Protoss, he was Zerg. I didn't get to attack on the right time and lost that game because of stupidness at the end. He was able to... No, I contained him with lots of zealots and some Templars. Nothing. He was massing sunkens he was not massing sunkens, but he had some sunkens and some lurkers. And I was to I was scared too much of his lurkers. Yeah, I know it's just one an example, because it's typical for me. I expanded also, I upgraded, I had advantage, but it's just like I didn't attack the right time. It always happens to me. Sometimes I attack good, sometimes I don't. And well, that's why I'm, what I see when I see your playing style or game style, when I see mine, you seem to know better when to attack or how to attack. Although you don't necessarily have a scouting or an observer there, you just seem to know, okay, this is the time where I should attack more or less. That's what makes me... Well, that's what I'm asking. How do you know that?
Like I said, usually I wouldn't attack in this situation. I usually like to kind of build up in my base and just scout around in that situation.
Yeah, I did that too. Game,
in this game, I just thought he doesn't have the sunkens to defend both his expansion and his main. If he wanted to do that, he should have built a hatchery at the ramp, at the bottom of the ramp. That would have defended both his expansion and his main. He didn't do that though. So he kind of gambled, thinking that I wouldn't attack, And when he did that, it was easy for me to come up with a lot of zealots and archons. And when you have like that three archons, I mean, no amount of zerglings is going to kill that. The only thing you could do to defend against that is sunkens. He only had one sunken, which was easily killed by the zealots. And what I did with the archons is I targeted that group of zerglings he had. That's why I killed the zerglings easily. I was able to kill the sunkens. Plus, I had the plus two attack. Now, what you could do in your situation versus a typical zerg is I think you have to keep the pressure on him. Make sure he doesn't expand the second time. The fact that he didn't lurker contain you is something that's a good thing for you. You should have been able to really take advantage of that, because usually a lurker contain is what stops the Protoss from becoming strong early on.
Yeah.
As far as upgrading, did you get your forge pretty much as soon as you started getting gas?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, as I said, I had such a big advantage for a long time, for maybe like, I would say 15 minutes, and I just didn't get to attack at the right time. I was able to rush him more or less in the beginning, and to kill some drones and so on. I just did something wrong. I was able to expand twice, while he was expanding once. So I don't know what I did, because I should have won this game. It's not really that game. It's typical for me. Nah, yeah, it's just typical for me. It also happens sometimes versus you when I was in a position where I could overpower you. No, my macro management was good. That's the thing. I had it. Well, I can show it to you another time maybe. While we see now game two or game four. I'm just wondering, because you have such a good timing feeling. When to attack. For example, I never thought of upgrades, of waiting for upgrades. I thought maybe once or twice, but it's not a routine thought in my mind.
Yeah, PvZ is all about upgrades, really. As long as you have one attack upgrade more than the Zerg, at any point of the game that you have that, that's when you are aggressive. That's when you will attack expansions whenever you can, because your Zealots will just eat up those Zerglings. I mean, at any time that you don't have that upgrade, that's when you kind of play a little more defensive, put a lot more cannons. And once it becomes a battle where he has 3-3, that's very dangerous for you. Because 3-3 Lings destroy pretty much all of the Toss units. At that point, you might see a lot of Maelstrom, things like that. You need a lot of Archons to win those type of games. So typically with Toss, you want to attack early and make sure he doesn't get that second expansion. That's really the key to that matchup. Now let's see if we can go see that second replay.
Yeah, we can. I'm just waiting for SD.
Alright, to all of those out there who had no clue what the heck they were talking about for the last 10 to 15 minutes, that's okay, as they actually deviated from the course, talking not about game number 3, but a random Desastroso encounter with his good German friend. Yeah. But anyways, we are about ready to hand the reins over a little bit more cautiously, I might add, for game number 4, and the one that actually allowed Killa Ace to win his third straight championship. So, back to you two.
Well, who is going to open? No, I when I talked about that game, I just wanted to know something about his ability to time, know when to attack, and how he knows what we were talking about.
Timing is definitely an extremely important factor in this game. I think it's one of those things that a lot of noob players, for lack of a better word, really don't understand. And even I didn't understand timing for a very long time, actually. is one of those things that you see the pros use timing all the time. And it's something I like to bring into my game. So I'd like to see a little more talking about timing even in the future.
Yeah, I think that could be something I should practice, because when I'm watching my replays, I don't do that too often. I did that more often when I was weaker or when I played. I sometimes recognize that I could have win a game when I just attacked at that moment, and I'm asking myself why I didn't. Did I scout too less, or sometimes I scout, it's okay, my scouting is okay, but I just don't get to attack because I don't know why, because I'm doing other stuff, like thinking, okay, I have the advantage right now, let's throw in some gateways, let's build some more factories, let's build a dropship, or let's do random stuff that doesn't make me win the game, or just make the game get longer. Those are the small things.
That's true. Sometimes, I mean, we all get into that mode sometimes. If you have 10 Zealots and he has 5 Zealots, sometimes instead of thinking the obvious decision to attack, you think, hey, you know what, why don't I get Reavers now, you know, instead of the obvious decision to just attack.
Yeah.
And that's why we lose a lot of games like that. We all do that, and it's a terrible feeling. And that's why I definitely time is important.
Yes, it's exactly like that, because I've played versus Gumiente sometimes, or a lot of times. Well, like 6 months ago, I would say I was better. Okay, excuse me. Let's talk about that game. you went the usual beginning while Rambit did the same. I'm just wondering why Rambit didn't build that first depot right onto his cliff so that he could wall in easier later on. Because a wall-in is always good. Doesn't matter if you play versus Terran or versus Protoss or versus Zerg. Although versus Zerg it can be sometimes
yeah,
a bit dangerous if he's able to attack it with a lot of Mutalisks. But usually, I don't know why he was building it. Yeah, okay. Space Summoner is saying that in the broadcast I was saying that a wall-in was a bad idea. No, I was referring that the way he made the wall-in was a bad idea, because he, after he recognized that Killer Ace was Protoss, he began to build 3 depots in a row that are... which made him fall behind and was absolutely unnecessary. First of all, 2 would be enough, and second, you don't need 2 depots, but you don't even have a factory. I mean, you see that right now. He's building
and look at
at
the
13
gas. Look
18.
At the gas. Look how
yeah.
late.
Yeah, the gas is late. He's 13, 18 building the first depot, and now building the second one. That means 200 minerals. He's not building any okay, right now he's building SCV. The gas is late. He's moving his command center, and the wall-in is still not closed. That's what I meant. The wall-in was a bad one. First of all, he by investing that money, he put himself far behind. Wasn't able to. Usually, you should be able to build right now, actually, more or less, or in 30 seconds. He invested too much time and too much money into that wall-in that wasn't useful at all. That's what I was referring to. Well, you made your usual.
Would it even work?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Could go through that.
Yeah, right now not, but before yes. Because I mean, look at that. You have your first dragoon being built while he even doesn't have the gas to build the first factory. Okay, yeah. Usually, you should have your first factory halfway done, or a quarter done at this point. More SCVs, having maybe some more Marines, I don't know.
He was very worried about a Zealot attack, it looks like, right now.
Yeah, I know, but even then, it would have been easier for him to build a bunker in between his mineral line. Because,
exactly.
Then he would just spend 100 minerals instead of, well, 300 for nothing, because look at his food, 19 to 42. He doesn't need 42. Right now he's building a bunker, which costs 100 again. He could have, for example, built another common center and trying to fast expand, or to make two more barracks instead. I don't know. Just a waste of minerals and a waste of time.
And he builds 4 marines as well.
Yeah. Putting in the bunker, and you can still do whatever you want. Your dragoon.
Wow, I really didn't know he was so far behind in this game. I would have probably been a lot more aggressive at this point. Probably been in the Reaver a lot earlier.
I was wondering that too, because, you didn't know that his there has been a depot in his maze, but still.
Finding him
too
so
early
late in the game.
Yeah, maybe.
I scouted him very late in the game, that affected it also.
Yeah, you don't recognize that too. Because you're just there for like 1 second, watching at it, and then concentrating on other stuff. Like a Reaver drop.
Reaver drop isn't really the typical thing to do in a Pardos versus Terran. But I thought I needed to be aggressive early on because I didn't have that much mobility with this mouse. I wanted to do as much as I could early on to try to win the game.
Yeah, but in my opinion, that was a risky move because, let's say if he played standard, if he had more factories earlier on and more tanks, therefore, I don't think you would have been able to make any damage, or at least not enough damage. And you would have been far behind with your first... Yeah, sure, with your first expansion. While Space Dominator says right now that it helps to know that Terran is Ramvik's weakest race. We see here again, he's building a depot where he doesn't need to. Food production is 30 to 42. Does need that depot right now. Always try to build it just in time.
Here we see the Reaver coming in. About 6 minutes into the game. Not too early, but not too late into the game as well. If I can do some damage here, it'll definitely change the game.
I do have to ask one thing to you. Why did you drop the Reaver on that one tank right at the, right near the bridge? Had you gone all the way into Ramvid's base, you could have done a lot more damage earlier on. So I'm just curious, what kind of, caused you to make that decision at this point?
Actually, that was very much a good question because that was a quick decision right there. I wanted to be able to get rid of some units here if I could. But definitely, that is a good question, because I did think about that at the time, of whether to go straight in or to kill some units right there. I just thought I could get those vultures easily. Probably wasn't the best idea, but it worked out.
Yeah, you got lucky with 9 hit points with that Reaver. Yeah, just a little lucky in my mind, but I'll stay out of it now.
Here, Ram really should have ran away. I don't know why he kept his SCVs like that. That just let it open for an attack.
Yeah.
Definitely a bad idea.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the worst idea ever, because that's why he lost so much. He would have lost like maybe 5 CVs. That's why your Reaver drop worked, because I think if he played more standard, that Reaver drop would have put you in a weaker situation, as you are making your first expansion right now, while without Reaver drop you would have had it like 3 earlier, or 4, I don't know, depends. And I'm asking, why didn't you put in one Dragoon into the shuttle?
The way I usually play, I usually just go straight alone with the Reaver. I'm not like a lot of Protoss people who like to put a 2 Zealots or a Ragoon into my shuttle. It's probably a bad habit by me. I really haven't learned to put in that extra unit. Maybe in the future I will try that.
Yeah, I was just wondering because I think that would have drawn fire away from your Reaver, and he wouldn't have had just 9 hit points. Probably. And then he would have survived longer to make damage and to maybe start this game earlier.
Yeah, I tend to be a player who... Oh, here I lose a Reaver pretty badly. I thought I moved him out of the way, but...
Yeah.
I thought I came in more north of that position, but apparently I came in right straight into it. Definitely not what I wanted to have happen. Yep, that's the worst feeling right there. To lose a Reaver and a shuttle like that, it breaks my heart.
Mine broke with you too, trust me.
That's to say, good probe management, because you have a lot of probes. You have just the right amount of probes on both expansions to expand once more, which you did. Like 2 minutes. So you continued to build a lot of probes while you were attacking.
Oh, I love to make probes. I really believe that this game is mostly about economics, so definitely making probes is one of my priorities. A lot of the games I'll make 100, 130 probes maybe in the game, and I might have an army that looks like nothing because of it, but I'll always take that money over the army anytime.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I have seen on certain replays from very good players that if they make something like a Reaver drop or some other strat that is based upon early damage, that they stop the production of workers to have more troops early on. And I think that could be a deciding factor those games, maybe. I mean, you would have stopped with your probe production. Maybe you would have been able to, I don't know, have 2 Reavers earlier, or I don't know, something like that. Although it was a good decision, because at the end this helped you a lot. Those probes, you have a lot of probes.
Well, I just think, I mean, the whole point of the Reaver drop is to what? Kill enemy workers, right?
Yeah.
Why would you affect your own worker production at the same time? If you're doing that.
To have more Reavers and to end the game earlier, maybe.
That's true. That's very true. But I like to go with 1 Reaver at a time. I don't know why. It's just the way I am. I feel like too many Reavers is overkill. I feel like 1 Reaver is get the job done, kill some units. That's it. Obviously, Space Dominator doesn't like the idea of overkill. He thinks there's never enough
players
in the game.
And another question for me, that's what I'm recognizing right now. You have 3 observers patrolling from east to west. Why didn't you put those 3 around his base, patrolling a smaller area? You would have seen any coming incoming drops or dropships from him. And by the way, this is a very good attack from you. Very nice, mate.
Yep, all I wanted to do here was to stop his expansion.
Yeah. That was very well done. Well, but to come back to the observers, why didn't you put the observers on a smaller area around his base? So you would have been able to see any incoming drops. Also, and wouldn't be Yeah, you didn't have to gamble that much, because at the end when he was able to drop you at you, luckily he got behind, got past your observers without you noticing his dropship.
In a perfect world, I usually expect the observers to see drops coming. Of course, in real life, I'm not looking at the minimap as much as I probably should be. And I think that explains that drop. You're probably right, I should keep observers close to his base, but I guess I really wasn't thinking as much in this game at that point. I guess I just wanted to, you know, be lazier and just check out all the expansions. Yes, Richie versus here, watching.
Ah, your pawn was not to see dropships coming, your pawn was more to see the expansions.
Yep. I like to have observers everywhere just to see a lot of expansions. Instead of using a Zealot early on, maybe just the observer is better, I think. It depends on your taste. Some people like Zealot.
Okay. I thought you had done that because you were afraid of drops. So, okay. Then it's understandable.
I think on an island map, I keep the observers closer to the opponent. On a land map, I'm just more looking to see for expansions, things like that. And look, he dodges my observers anyway at this point. You see that?
Yeah, but I thought you didn't see them. You didn't see the dropship.
No, I didn't see the dropship. He kills a lot of probes over here. 11 kills right there. That's pretty big.
Yeah, but he could have done better. If his tanks didn't begin to shoot early on, you would have recognized, like, 3 seconds later, that would be 2 more shots for the tanks, which would be, like, 8 more probes. I don't know. But still here, very nice from you with those photon cannons. Did you came up with that idea a lot earlier on, or was it the reaction of his drops?
Actually, I wanted to do a Psystorm drop, but I didn't have Templar at the time, so I thought the second best thing would be cannons.
Okay. Because you don't see that too often, and I think it's a nice move. Although for Terran it's easier, because they should be able to knock those cannons out with tanks, but it still delays your mining a lot.
Especially if you have that much money, why not do it?
Yeah, sure. And here, I was wondering too, why didn't you storm the SCVs? Were you building just more units back in the base?
I was thinking about it actually, and I didn't know if I needed that storm later on, so I didn't do it.
I thought that you just need some other stuff somewhere else. Also, here, nice from you to attack from both sides. First, annihilate his main economy, and then trying to pass through. Wow. Okay.
And there's the GG.
Yes.
So, final thoughts about Game 4.
You never saw those...
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah? Final thoughts about Game 4.
Killa? Final thoughts?
Game 4 was really decided by that Reaver early on. And definitely you can't forget the supply depots. I really don't know what Ram was thinking right there. You know the early game is so important, so much about timing. Why would you try building all those supply depots and really hurting your build order in that time? Why not just get that free, maybe build a bunker near your main, build everything very close together so you could defend it, rather than trying to build a wall that made no sense at that point. That really hurt, and also the Reaver, obviously, if it was just killed with minimal losses, that would have definitely made you expand a lot faster, and it would have made you have an army a lot faster. If you could have defended that, who knows how the game would have gone. As for me, I played that game fairly standard, and I think it was just a matter of time for me to win after that Reaver drop, really.
Yeah, I think so too. Can't add anything.
And I think we have covered games 3 and 4 in about every conceivable detail we could possibly think of. Thank you both for your excellent work and deep analysis.
Yep, we even went into the timing aspect of the game. This is definitely enlightening.
Yes, you got extra credit for that.
Yeah, for... Definitely for me, I'm going to try to time better in my future Brood War career.
Another key to timing that I forgot to mention was never forget to upgrade. That is very important in all these matchups. Never worry about when you get attacked and you think, oh, maybe I should sacrifice one thing here to survive a little bit longer. Remember that those things end up to bite you in the ass. Always get those upgrades at the right times, because that is really the key to winning and losing. Sometimes you might be in trouble a little bit early on, but you'll eventually get that advantage later on if you made sure to keep on yourself with the upgrades. And so definitely look at that in the future as an important aspect of timing.
Well, you know, I always try to upgrade very fast because I like units that are... I just never really made the connection between hacking when an upgrade has finished. I usually don't recognize when an upgrade is done. I just see, okay, I have +1 attack upgrade right now, but I don't get the connection to, okay, I just got it, now it's time to attack. I just don't have that connection. I was recognizing that 1 week ago when I was playing versus Ente again, when we had, it was also a Protoss versus Zerg match, I was Protoss. When I was on the way to his base, when I was going to his base, while I had my +1 attack upgrade and the speed upgrade, but both weren't done yet, I just began to attack. I don't know why, when I was watching the replay later on, I was wondering myself why I did that, because he was able to attack me easier, or to defeat me easier. If I had both the +1 attack upgrade and the speed upgrade, it would be a lot harder for him to defeat me. Watching where it is. That's something I have to work on. Let's see.
Yep, the reason that you build the Forge and the Citadel of Aduna so early is that once you get +1 speed lots, the game is really in your favor. You get to do whatever you want.
I know.
You get map controls. You get map control, you can stop them from expanding again, you can expand yourself, and you can really attack him at that point, so, and force him to build a lot more sunkens. You don't even have to attack, just the threat of attacking at that point, he'll get the message, and he'll build a lot of sunkens, which really hurts his economy over time.
Yeah, that's true. I know that because I like it a lot to have early speed zeals with the +1 attack upgrade. You just recognize that that something is happening with your units. I don't know if I'm able to.
Yeah, remember that Alder game versus me where he didn't really do anything except he stayed in his base, built a bunch of zealots, and got +1 attack speed lots, and just ran through my expansion and just destroyed everything. I thought he didn't
even
build
remember.
Archons. Yep, it was a while ago. Didn't even build Archons.
Okay,
just ran right through.
I'm searching for the replay. The one I was referring, and you are going to see that I was
advantage. At least for me, it looked like that. Maybe I wasn't, but...
That's definitely the worst feeling when you know you could have won the game and then you just lost it because you weren't aggressive. I hate that happens.
Yeah, that happens with me because... That usually happens with me because my macro management is bad. You know, and you know that because you just know it. Okay. I think it's this one. Yeah. Okay. I now have it. Pass. If you want.
Apelea, my favorite.
Yeah. SD, if we are boring someone or something like that, we can... The... If you want, you can come in, SD.
Alright, I'll be honest. I'm not sure whether Zorak's math mad minutes made people smarter or just the last hour of listening to Killa Ace and Dicestroso talk. I'm not quite sure yet. I think that's, you know, a debate up for another day in another year. But anyways, after this short commercial break, I will be concluding the broadcast with my final remarks about the BGN Invitational Tournament 3. This is Blizzard Gaming Night Radio.
He walks downstairs, alone or in pairs, and makes a slinkity sound. A sprain, a marvelous thing. Everyone knows it's Slinky. It gives a big lift when wrapped as a gift, a very likable toy. It's falling in place, brings smiles to your face, something kids can enjoy. It's Slinky, for fun it's a wonderful toy. It's Slinky, it's fun for a girl and a boy. And Slinky Mobiles with big Slinky wheels and pistons that move as you go. It makes a great sound when you pull it around. The driver's an old tiny fellow. A slinky dog, a slinky train, many more wonderful toys. You tug the string, they do their thing. They're great for girls and boys. They're slinkies, really wonderful toys. They're slinkies, they're fun for girls and boys.
Heute ist ein besonderer Tag. Heidi telefoniert seit Stunden kostenlos über die Internetseite mit Judy. Was sie nicht weiß, nur noch Mopsi hört zu. Genau 42 Meter tiefer und 4 Stationen weiter erfährt Udo, dass er mit AOL-Phone auch ohne PC über das Internet telefonieren kann. Unkompliziert und schnell. AOL.
Die wird viel besser und goedkoper bij de Freispreker.
Bij de prijsspreker vindt u een Rico Nylon overhemd in wit gekleurd en fantasie voor €4,95. Lichtgewicht vrije tijds colberts voor €19,50. Pantalons en andere lichtgewicht reeds voor €14,75. Verder heeft de prijsspreker de meest uitgebreide dames- en herenconfectie, bonneterie en shirts met het schip Veronica voorop. De prijsspreker Nieuwe Dijk 192 en Weesperzijde 23 Amsterdam, ook in Rotterdam en Den Haag.
Let's try this once more. Welcome back for the conclusion of the BGN Invitational Tournament 3. The closing remarks from the director, the tournament organizer. Yes, the one we all love to hear talk and complain. There's nothing better and nothing more classic than that. I should also take this opportunity, in case you did miss our announcement earlier on, the next major tournament that's being held by Blizzard Gaming Night is one with a little bit different of a twist. It was actually an idea that Maureen and I both came up with, as we thought it'd be an idea and an opportunity for all players to think they had at least an opportunity, as the BGN Marathon is not solely based on melee skill. It's based on 16 different maps that each have an individual focus on what they're testing. So for example, there's a map, Last One Standing, which we all know quite a bit about. And of course, that map, there's one pretty important detail about it. You need to make friends to survive or win every single event. And that's a key little element, you know, in the world of StarCraft as well. Your image, surprisingly, will come back to bite you in certain games. AKA, take a look at what's happened to FPS and Marine, just through a couple of actions in their own encounters with us. So we have a range of different maps that are going to be played starting in the first Friday of September. It should be very interesting competition. The thing is, you won't have to show up every week, of course, but the thing is, if you want to win the competition, you'll most likely want to, as there will always be that one idiot who will always show up every week, aka me. But that's another story for another time. Again, like I said earlier in the broadcast as well, for full details about the BGN Marathon, check out the website at http://swoopzone.net/BGN/marathon, MARATHON.html. At this point, too, I should also probably give you a heads up, too. The next Blizzard Gaming Night Invitational Tournament will probably not be occurring until next summer. This is, of course, due to the fact that most of us are, of course, entering a critical part in our collegiate careers and or our job prospects. Of course, I will be student teaching in the winter semester, so it's not exactly a good time to host a tournament. Of course, Killa Ace is going to Grenada to become a vet, and Ace Astros is probably going to find another place to sleep with his girlfriend. So we all have very important tasks to complete over the winter and the sun, you know. So basically, you will have a year to prepare for the next BGN Invitational Tournament. I know it's a bit long, but the thing is, there will be enough events throughout the time to meet the time there. We probably will also do a few single-day events as well. So just stay tuned. Don't leave us, of course. But this is just the conclusion of one event, and we'll have another fun event, you know, coming in the near future. However, I should also take this opportunity to thank all of the important people who helped to make the BGN Invitational Tournament 3 Championship Series, the broadcast, and the series that it was. Obviously, first things first, I must thank Zorak for his patience, his advice, and his calmness throughout the hectic times, you know, that I had to deal with so many random issues, not only during the final series, but before the final series even began. And of course, Zorak was able to also have the calming hand as well of managing the way to get Sniper and Ramvid to play in their second semifinal series so we didn't lose everything in the process. Not to mention, too, he showed composure and class in handling the second game as well, considering the fact that those were conditions that we were not expecting. Well, okay, I was kind of expecting it to be coming the other way, as he was warning me about the weather in Texas instead. But it turns out it was my own computer that ended up dealing the technical blow instead. Not to mention, I think everyone who had any like for mathematics besides myself probably lost their like of mathematics due to the math minutes. I'm just kidding. As actually I found them very interesting, as Zorak was able to find a way to relate mathematics to the game of StarCraft. Again, all common, you know, congratulations to Zorak again for his finish, and also he is forgiven for his terrible beating of myself in the elimination game that led to the quarterfinals, which we will not talk about at this time. I should also thank Desastroso at this point for actually showing up for the first time in, God, 7 months, you know, for a BGN function. Pretty impressive, you know, and Desastroso did an excellent job, you know, considering he had no real practice and not much warning. I think I gave him about 2 days warning about the final broadcasts here. So I thank Desastroso for waking up this early in the morning out there, as it's now 6:30 out there, to take part in our festivities,
yeah,
and to give a deep,
yeah,
analytical view that we all appreciate, and also to bring in his humor and his unique way of describing things to the Blizzard Gaming Night final series. Thank you, Desastroso.
Thank you, Space Dominator, for inviting me to be here tonight.
Of course, we also must thank our two players, too. We have to thank Ramvid, who, of course, said zero words live, but that's because he doesn't have a microphone. We can't fault him for that. And also to show the class to not actually quit and leave the room storming like the last two losers in the championship series. He at least had the class, the dignity, you know, etc. Although I think it does help that Killer Ace is just, you know, nearby, so at any moment Ram could just go over and smack him a few times and everything would be good. And, of course, we also have to thank Killer Ace as well for not only winning the third straight tournament, destroying, first of all the possible drama that we could have had in these exciting championship series, but also for his work in the post-game show from day one, and also his post-game show work with Desastroso tonight. Killer Ace has proven his worth as well, talking to us, you know, is also graceful enough to show up for the interviews, which helped to make the pregame shows just that little bit much better. Thank you, Killer Ace. And finally, I think it's kind of important that I give a little bit of recognition as well to all the different little pieces of music that you have heard throughout the Blizzard Gaming Night, you know, Invitational Championship Series 3. There are lots of different songs I used. The one song that was constant, though, from both nights was right at the beginning, after the opening of BGN Radio. One of the best reality television shows that I've ever watched on television was The Mole. I thought it was a highly sophisticated television reality show, and I thought it was actually one of the few reality shows that I actually watched from the start to the finish and was actually hooked on. So actually, the song that we began with was called The Arrival, actually from the soundtrack from The Mole reality show. You know, pretty cool concept, you know, and also a pretty good CD from what I heard. The first song on day one was a song called Go All the Way. Of course, it was a love song by the Raspberries, I believe written in the 1960s, if I correctly remember. But then again, you know, it kind of fit the theme, you know, which of our two players was going to go all the way and win the series. Let's see, the pregame show little sound bit, that was actually from a game show, actually, 21, a newer edition of that. It just had one of those cool, you know, little opening riffs that I just thought was too appropriate, and we had to use it for something like that. Of course, we had Bon Jovi's Have a Nice Day, which you will hear again at the conclusion of my rambling. We have to thank Bud Light, of course, for the 60,000 Real Men of Genius ones. And just for the record, I should clarify that I actually won the Fantasy Football League last year, so I do have more skills than that little commercial gave me credit for. And by the way, I can actually catch a football pretty good too, so that's a lie as well. But, let's see, what else can we... Who else and what else can we thank? Of course, we need to thank TeamSpeak as well for their server to allow us the opportunity to talk to each other. And, of course, we had In Heaven There Is No Beer opening up tonight's broadcast. And, of course, we have to thank one other person, a person we don't know his name, but we have to thank that random 12-year-old, well, at least we think he's 12-year-old, who came in and made the first game of the BGN Invitational Tournament 3 a memorable one. So thus, I think it is only appropriate that we conclude the broadcast of the final BGN Invitational Tournament 3 with the final montage that I came up with describing the festivities from last night, and lastly, the Bon Jovi song, Have a Nice Day, which of course is the trademark feature of any BGN Invitational Tournament. So I think I've thanked just about everyone and their mother in the process, so I'd like to thank you for listening to tonight's broadcast of the Blizzard Gaming Night Invitational Tournament 3. I hope you enjoyed our broadcasts. I know they're not the greatest thing in the world, but it's the best we can do, and that's all you can ask for. For my partners, Zorak, Killer Ace, Ramvid, and the rest of Blizzard Gaming Night, I am Space Dominator